The first reading today, St. Paul tells us to consider our own vocation, our own call from God. Now, in the sense that St. Paul is using it, it is in the generic call just to be a Christian person. When we look at the gospel reading, we see it even more further, more detailed. That is the call to the state in life. Whether that is the call to the married state, whether it is a call to a celibate state, whatever it may be. And we recognize that it is a call from God. Now, when the apostles are listening to Jesus speak about marriage, and he said, well, that's the way it is. That's not expedient to get married. What a dumb idea if you can't get out of this. Oh, no. There's nothing stupid about it at all. The part that would be stupid is if you haven't prayed about it. If you haven't considered your call, because we have to look at the fact that God is the one calling us. And St. Paul tells us in the first reading that he chooses the weak and he chooses the foolish and he chooses the broken ones, all this, the least, the ones who are nothing. So if you're called to be married, most of the time it's because that's not going to be the easiest vocation for you. Just as for those who are called to be a priest, it probably would have been better being married. It's the way it was in the seminary. All the guys who would have been the best priests, they all left and got married because they recognized through prayer that God was calling them to the married state. That left the rest of us. Bummer for you guys, but that's the reality. He chooses the weak. He chooses the least. He chooses those who are nothing. So if we looked at it on the natural level, we would say, these are the ones who would have made the best priests. God said, nope, those are the ones I'm going to call to be married. So it is with every vocation. God isn't going to make it easy on you because he's calling you to be a saint, and there is no way to become a saint other than to walk the road that's going to lead to Calvary. In each life, in each vocation, that's going to look a little different. So we have to be able then to look and ask ourselves, then how do we do this? First of all, pray. If you're a young person who hasn't entered your vocation yet, pray and ask God what he wants you to do. Don't tell him what he wants you to do. Ask him. And don't just ask him once because you're probably not going to get an answer. On average, it takes about 2 years of prayer of discernment to be able to discern what it is that God is asking you to do. Then if he is calling you to be married, which is the most natural of the vocations, so it is certainly the one that most people would be called to, if you discern that this is the one, the marriage, that is, the vocation to which you're being called, then pray about the person. Because you need to marry the right person. Marriage is extraordinarily difficult with the right person. It's about impossible with the wrong one. Which is probably why the apostles are asking the question, this can't be expedient. No. Jesus brings them right back to the beginning and says, look, here's what God intended from the beginning. And with the grace that we have in Jesus Christ, we have the ability by his grace to be able to live what God has called us to. But if you are called to be married and you found that person, don't stop praying. In fact, you better pray more because now you have to live with that person, and more than that, that person has to live with you. So they need your prayers just because looking in the mirror, I don't need to explain anymore. They're stuck with you. You better pray for them. And pray for your vocation. Now, if you're called to a different vocation, whether that be consecrated single life, whether that be consecrated life, or whether that be priesthood, or a consecrated virgin for a woman, you still have to discern what it is that God is asking. If it's a religious vocation, to which order? To which monastery or which convent? priesthood, diocesan priesthood, or is it religious priesthood? There are all these different things. But no matter what, it all comes down to the point of prayer. There is no way that a priest, knowing that he should, that he's the worst, the least, the most pathetic creature that God could have found on the face of the earth, and that's why he called him to be a priest, he can't do this himself. And any priest who's stupid enough to think that he can, well, he's going to mess the people up. Because guess what he's going to preach? Himself. You don't need to hear about him. He can't save you. Only Jesus can. And so he needs to have a prayer life. He needs to have a focus on the Lord so that he can lead the people to the Lord. But you can't just simply sit back and say, well, the priests and the nuns need to pray. It's like, no, the married people need to pray too. And especially today where the attack is on marriage, you need to pray. And I mean seriously pray, because it's coming against you. So we are all in this together. We need to pray for one another. I remember talking with one of the nuns out at the monastery one day and mentioning to her about how without the nuns, we'd be sunk. And if it weren't for those Carmelite nuns out there and the contemplative nuns throughout the church, we would be in huge trouble. And most people have no clue, number one, that they're even there, or number two, what they even do. People think they're stupid. Why would you lock yourself up in a monastery? To pray for you. That's why they've locked themselves in a monastery. And without them, the church would probably have been destroyed years and years and years ago. And they are there just praying and suffering and just quietly behind the scenes doing all that work so that what we're doing here can happen. And I mentioned to her how important it was and that we can't survive without the nuns. And she just said, well, but we can't survive without the priests and without the families either. It's like, true enough. Obviously, celibate vocations come from a marriage. Celibacy is not hereditary. So we're not producing our own, obviously. They have to come out of families. And so we have to be there to serve the family. The family is there to serve us. And it's both ways. It's not a one-way street. There are lots of priests who seem to think they have some kind of entitlement that you're there to serve me. What about the fact that you're called to serve the people? That has to come first. It's a two-way street because it's charity. It's not just you have to do this. It's like, no, love is giving and it's receiving. That's what marriage is. That's what priesthood is supposed to be. That's what religious life is. That's what every vocation is. It's going to be in a different way. But in that way, it's all the same. It is loving God and his loving neighbor. So no matter what your situation in life, no matter what your vocation, it must be rooted in prayer. It's the only way that things are going to grow. If you look at a marriage and a marriage is supposed to grow, the love is supposed to grow every single day, how's that happen? Not by whipping up your emotions and feeling more in love with somebody. No, by actually being more in love with somebody. To love that person more, you need to love God more. And to love God more, you have to pray so that you're united with him, so that that love that God gives to you overflows into that other person and to those around. So it all hinges on prayer. To discern your vocation, to enter your vocation, to live your vocation. Doesn't matter what it is. It all requires prayer. Because God has chosen for you that which is going to be the best way for you to become a saint, which means he's chosen for you more than likely that which is going to be the most difficult for you, because that's the best way to become a saint. And so Look at yourself if you're married and you say, yep, I probably would have been better off being a nun or a monk. Well, guess what? That's why God called you to be married. And those of us who probably would have been better married, in his sense of humor, he made us priests. And so we're all in it together. All the lowly, all the pathetic, all the ones who the world wouldn't have chosen, here we are in this all together and helping one another as we grow, as we pray, as we develop that charity, growing to become saints ourselves, helping one another to grow in holiness and become great saints.